All right, Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw Peter's wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, sickness is a fact of life. We all experience it on a regular basis, but then at times there's somebody that we love, we ourselves, or somebody that we love that has a serious disease. And what's the Lord's lesson in causing a believer or causing one of our loved ones to experience sickness? What's the lesson in it? What's the reason for it? Well, this passage teaches us a few lessons about sickness, and one of which is preeminently important above all the others. First of all, God's saints are not immune to bodily sickness. God's saints, simply because they're God's saints, are not immune to getting sick, nor are their loved ones. It says, verse 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw Peter's wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Peter was an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was an apostle of Christ. That means like every one of God's saints, just like each true believer right here, right now, the Apostle Peter was chosen by God the Father in eternity. He was chosen to be saved. God elected him unto salvation, blessed him with all spiritual blessings in Christ, set him apart, made him holy for God's special use. And he did all this before the foundation of the world. And like all God's elect, Christ came forth and redeemed him. Even when he stood right here in this instant, right here, before Christ had gone and poured out his blood physically, he stood under the blood in Christ, who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Just like all God's elect, when Christ entered suretyship for us, we were under Christ's blood, righteous in Christ before God from the very beginning. He declared the end from the beginning because he chose Christ who could not fail, and Christ entered covenant to redeem his people. And then Christ came and redeemed us, and he shed his blood, and now all God's elect are redeemed. He purged our sins by himself. He by himself redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then he went to glory and sat down when the work was finished. And like everyone that God chose and everyone that Christ redeemed, when Christ came to the Apostle Peter and called him personally to be his apostle, the Spirit of God quickened Peter and gave him spiritual life, and he irresistibly was called to faith in Christ. Born again, given a new heart, given faith in Christ. So here you have a man who is an elect child of God. He's redeemed by Christ. He's born of the Holy Spirit of God. This is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, one loved since the foundation of the world by the Father. And yet this man, whose salvation was entirely of the Lord, God sent sickness to his mother-in-law. This one he loved. His mother-in-law was laid up with a debilitating fever. And that teaches us that God's people are not immune to sickness. God's people are not immune to sickness. Our loved ones are not immune to disease simply because they're the loved ones of one of God's chosen people. All men are susceptible to sickness, disease, and death, and that's a result of our fall in Adam. Adam sinned, and death entered. And death passed upon us all. And the result of that sin and that death is we get sick. And we're going to all die. If anybody claims that they don't have any sin, and they think they're holy and they're righteous and they don't have sin, they prove that they're a liar when they get sick. All physical sickness is a consequence of sin. Now that doesn't mean that all physical sickness is God chastening His people for sinning. That's not what that means. It just means that all sickness is the result of us being sinners. God sent Job leprosy simply to teach Job a lesson. Something else, totally different. But He said before He did that, there's none like Him that avoids evil. That's what He said about Job. It wasn't for something Job had done sinfully that He sent him sickness. Simply because God was teaching him something. There was no sin and there was no death before Adam sinned in the garden. Can you imagine a place where there is no sickness? There was no sickness before Adam sinned in the garden. But the moment he sinned in the garden, death entered, and that's when sickness began. And so we're going to all die of sickness one day. In some form or fashion, we're going to get old, or either we're going to die of sickness. So but because we're a believer, that does not mean we're immune to sickness. It doesn't mean our loved ones are immune to sickness. Here's the second thing we see here. Christ alone is able to cure sickness. It says there in verse 15, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them." Verse 16 says, "He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick." Now, knowing that Christ alone is able to cure bodily sickness, and He's the only one that's able to do so, that doesn't mean that we do not go to a physician and use earthly medicine. It doesn't mean that at all. That's absurd to not do that. The same way that Christ works through His preacher, through His word that's being preached, and heals His people inwardly when He quickens us and creates a new man within us, the same way He uses those means, Christ uses an earthly physician and the medicine that He has been given, and Christ heals through those means. God uses means. It's not unfaithfulness for a believer to see a doctor. That's not unfaithfulness. It would be absurdity not to. God is so absolutely sovereign over all things that He's able to use all things. Everything He's created, He's able to use it as means to save His people. He's called the Lord of hosts. That means everything He's created is the host that is at His disposal to use as He sees fit to bring His will to pass. He's able to use means, and He uses means. So when a person's healed physically, if you look beyond all the second causes, look beyond the physician, look beyond the medicine, look beyond all of that, it's this real right here, verse 15. "Christ touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." It's just that real. Ignore all the second causes that were used. Ignore all the means that was used. When a sinner hears the gospel for the first time and he finds himself believing on Christ in his heart, he's casting all his care on Christ in his heart. What's happened? Christ has touched him and the fever's left him. His sickness has left him. He's brought to believe on the Lord. And physically speaking, when a person's fever leaves them and they begin to get better, what's happened? Christ has healed them. That's the case whenever somebody gets better from a sickness. I want you to go with me and look here just before this text. Christ was not even present when He healed somebody. Look back up at verse 5. "When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He said, many who are not of Israel, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they had no faith in Christ. And look at what he says. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. He believed God that Christ could heal him without even being there, just by saying a word. And he said, and as you've believed, that's how it is. I've saved him with a word. I'm not even there, and I've saved him with a word. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. So Christ, from his throne in glory, he doesn't have to be physically present to heal like he did here in our text. He doesn't have to be present. He doesn't have to touch. He can speak the word. And when he speaks the word, there's power in that living word to heal. That's how he heals us through the gospel. The word's going forth out of the preacher's mouth, and the brethren are praying for the lost, and everybody wants to see God's elect brought to faith in Christ. And nothing avails until Christ speaks that word from his throne in glory. He's not physically present. He speaks it from his throne in glory, and he speaks that word, and that lost child is given life and is healed. Hears the word, it's effectual in his heart. God, our Savior, has appointed an hour that every one of us shall die. And it will not be 1 second before that, and it will not be 1 second after that. It will be that very second that he's appointed for our life to end that we will die. Christ is sovereign. That means he's sovereign over every microscopic thing that's in your body and mind. And he's sovereign over, just like he's sovereign over every great thing. He rules everything. He's the God of the microbes, and he's the God of the sun. He's that sovereign. He's ruling that real and that in all his people. He sends the sickness, he controls the sickness, and he removes the sickness. And he's the first cause behind all the secondary causes, who's able to speak and to make us be cured of whatever disease. That's our sovereign Savior. Now here's the third thing. God sometimes uses sickness to draw his elect to Christ. He sometimes uses sickness to draw his elect to Christ. Verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now, physical sickness was the reason that many here came to Christ. Word had spread of what Christ had done that day. You realize all these miracles right here were done in one day. He healed the leper that came to him. That's the beginning of chapter 8. He comes down out of the mount, from preaching that Sermon on the Mount, and the leper comes to him, he heals that leper. And the centurion comes to him, and he heals his servant. Then he goes to Peter's house, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And word got out. Word began to spread about Christ as he's able to heal physical sickness. And there you got all these people that have these loved ones that are physically sick. And they found a cure now. Let's get them to Christ. Let's get them to Christ. I know when our loved ones are sick, and when my father was sick recently, and I know when our loved ones are sick, we want to get them to a physician. It's an emergency. We want to get them to a physician. But if we just could realize they're that sick in sin before they're ever physically sick, and we had that urgency to get them to Christ, teach them Christ and get them to Christ before they when there's no physical sickness involved. It's just that urgent all the time, just as urgent as it is when you hear the word cancer. Just that urgent to physically get to an earthly physician. It's that urgent all the time to get our children to Christ. They have something far worse. They have something that caused the cancer. Sin. And only Christ can cure. But that word spread that day and they heard about it and they brought their loved ones to Christ. And there's a beautiful picture of the preaching of the gospel in that. The Lord right now, the Lord went up into the mountain. He preached that sermon. And then he came down out of that mountain and he started healing people. And you think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone up into his mountain in glory. Mount Jerusalem, heavenly Mount Jerusalem, and he's seated right now in his holy place. And he sends forth the gospel, and he preaches the gospel through his preacher. And then he begins to heal his people through that gospel, just like he did right here. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel going forth. And when he does so, when he heals his people, he makes us willing to minister to the needs of others, just like Peter's mother-in-law. As soon as she was healed, she got up and went to waiting on people. That's what he does to his people. He takes us from being self-serving, looking out for number one, and he makes us ministers to minister to his people. Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now we know God is pleased to use only the foolishness of preaching to save his people. He's pleased to use only the foolishness of preaching to save his people. That's clearly declared in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1, Romans 10, it's clearly declared. And it's clearly shown. And everybody God saved, he sent the gospel to them. Abraham's the father of believers. Galatians tells us God preached the gospel to Abraham. We don't know how. We don't know who he sent. He didn't record that. But it tells us there Abraham was made to hear the gospel. And everybody in this word that heard it was made to hear the gospel. Just like that Ethiopian eunuch, a man out there in the middle of nowhere, God made his path to be crossed with the gospel. Because he's that sovereign to do so. Why would he not do it the way he determined to do it? He's sovereign. He can do what he will. But to bring his lost child under the gospel and prepare them to listen to the word preached, God sometimes uses means like physical sickness. Sometimes he'll use something like that to get his elect child under the sound of the gospel, who before would have had no interest. It might be a poor motive to come to hear the word preached because you're sick. That might be a poor motive. But God can use a poor motive too. But he could use something like that to bring them under the gospel. Or if there's one he's already got under the gospel, he may use physical sickness to make him experience that the doctrine of total depravity is not just a doctrine, it's real, and thus bring him to Christ. Or for a believer, he may use physical sickness to turn us from some distraction and bring us back to Christ's feet. Just as he will one day when he's going to use sickness to bring each of his elect to Christ's feet in glory forever. If we made well, if Christ pleased to heal us of whatever sickness we have, you go read Genesis. This one begot this one got this one. They lived, and they died. We're going to die. But if he cures us of our sin sickness, that'll be all right. That'll be just fine. Sometimes the Lord used sickness to teach the one who was himself sick. Like he did with the leper. The leper was the one who was sick. The Lord drew him and he taught him. There's a saying, you know, that I don't remember exactly the saying, but if you build a refuge in a time of a storm, men usually abandon it when there's calm. But that's not always the case. It wasn't the case with the leper. That leper was sick and the Lord used that to bring him to Christ. And Christ healed him physically and spiritually. But often the Lord uses sickness of a loved one to teach the one who came to him on their behalf. Sometimes he gave sickness to a loved one, but the sickness wasn't to teach the loved one. It was to teach those who came to Christ on behalf of the loved one. Go with me to John 4. I'll show you an example of this. John chapter 4. It says here, verse 46, Jesus came unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. This was a nobleman, and his son was sick. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. You see, he wasn't like the centurion. The centurion was given faith to understand that Christ didn't have to be present. But this man didn't know that. He didn't understand that. And it says, verse 50, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He believed him in the fact that he thought, okay, well, you know, maybe he's alive. I'm going to go. I'm going to go see. And it says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. You see, it wasn't for the sick child that God Christ was teaching. It was for his father and a lot more elect children that God had in his house. That's who he was teaching. Sometimes the sickness is for the person who has it. Sometimes it's for those in the house. When we have a sick loved one, we ourselves ought to pay attention. When it's somebody else that's sick, a brother, a sister in Christ, when it's a daughter or son in the house, when it's a husband or a wife or somebody in our family, we ourselves who don't have the sickness ought to pay close attention. See what Christ is teaching me. It may be Christ has given a loved one sickness to teach us ourselves. It may be the Lord is strengthening love between fellow members of his church through causing one other member in the church to be sick. He can use that, increase the love of members in a church. Maybe their love had grown cold toward one another, and he can, something that looks as terrible to us, that he's sending a sickness and it's going to just be a tragic thing, and yet what the Lord's doing is he's increasing the love of all the members in that congregation for one another. Sometimes the Lord can strengthen love between a believing husband and a wife through the sickness of their child. When none of us want to see a child sick, especially our own child, but sometimes the Lord could be sending that to strengthen love between a husband and a wife, between brothers and sisters. Sometimes the Lord may be softening our hearts through a sick loved one. We get so caught up in the world and so busy with the things we're doing, and sometimes the Lord does something like that to soften us a little bit. One preacher I was reading said this. He said, I would not be half the man I am but for God giving me a sick child. My tendency is towards aggressiveness, sternness, harshness. But that little sick child has softened me and been like a benediction upon my life. And so here was his lesson. He said, afflictions do not spring out of the dust. Do not be impatient with them. We need something to soften this hard life. And that's true. Sometimes that may be the reason the Lord has done it. But in all of those who came, here's the main point. No matter what the Lord's working, here is where it is all hinges, right here. They all came to Christ. Look here in verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were sick. They came to him. They brought them to him. Every trial, every sickness is given to the believer for one reason. It's to bring us to Christ's feet. What's the first trial you can remember as a believer? Or really before you even knew you were a believer. The first real serious trial was when the Lord began to teach you, you are a sinner and can do nothing to save yourself. That was a trial for me. And it was painful, and there was nothing fun about it. But where did it bring me? It brought me to Christ's feet. And ever since then, every single trial, every single sickness, every single thing that he's ever sent that caused me pain and caused me trouble and caused me sorrow, every single time, it's been to bring me to Christ's feet. Every time. And that's the purpose of it. Whatever the trial, whether it's you or it's another, whatever Christ is working through it, here's the one thing that's important. Go directly to Christ and camp out at his feet and pour out all your need to Christ. We as a church have a need right now. Chloe's sick. So, where do you go? It'll do no good to call one another. It'll do no good to try to bend each other's ear, though, you know, we want to help each other, and that's fine, but where's our real help come from? What's the purpose of it? Go to Christ. Go to him and pour out your heart for that little girl. Pour out your heart for her mom and her daddy. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And lastly, now, here's the preeminent lesson. This is the preeminent lesson. Verse 16. And he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now notice it says himself. This is Jesus Christ personally. He did this. Jesus the Lord did this. It's the person of Christ, the God-man that we're beholding here. Then notice himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That word took, according to the Greek lexicon, means this. To take upon oneself, to take to oneself, to make one's own in order to carry away, to remove, to take away. Himself took our infirmities. And then the word bear means to put upon oneself, to bear what is burdensome, to carry on one's person, to bear away. Himself bear our sicknesses. Our Lord Jesus came to these folks came to him, and our Lord took their infirmities and their sicknesses, and he took them to himself, upon himself, and bare them himself, like a man takes a heavy load and takes it up on his shoulder and takes it away. That's what Christ did. That's what he did. But how now, let me ask you this, how was this fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy? Turn with me over to Isaiah 53. How was this fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:4. Surely, this is where that came from. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And indeed he was on the cross. But what that means is we esteemed it was his own fault. That's why God was smiting him. That's why God was afflicting him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah spoke of Christ taking to himself and bearing our transgressions and our iniquities. He's talking about him bearing our sin. He spoke of Christ being smitten of God and bruised because he bore the sin of his elect. As Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So how was this fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy? By him taking infirmities and sicknesses and bearing them himself. How was that fulfilling a prophecy that had to do with him taking sin and bearing sin and being wounded for that? Well, one, it fulfilled that prophecy in that it foreshadowed Christ taking and bearing the sin of his people. What he did there in taking their sickness, their physical sickness, was a picture. It foreshadowed him doing that with our sin. And in that sense, it was a fulfilling of Isaiah's prophecy. And secondly, it was a proof of his power and his ability to take and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. It was proof that he had the ability to do it. Natural men think it's harder to take away and bear away sicknesses than it is to bear away our sins. And you and I, sadly, still feel that way a great deal. That it's easier for him to take away our sins and it's harder for him to take away sickness. Go with me to Matthew 9 real quick. And look at verse 5 right here. When he was healing that man that they brought to him that had palsy, he turned and looked at him and he said, verse 5, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. You see, men naturally would say, well, it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, because we can't see if that's really been done or not. But it's harder to say, take up thy bed and walk, because we can see if you did that or not. If you really healed him or not. And so by doing what man deems to be the greater, it proved that Christ can do that which man deems to be easier. Although what man deems to be easier is really the greater. Christ was able to take and bear sicknesses because he coveted to go to the cross and bear the sin of his elect that caused that sickness. So he could take our sickness. You think about it. You and I, none of us have power. Kristen, you'd be out of work if we had power to just go up to somebody and say, take up your bed and walk. Christ had power to do that. He had power to go to somebody and say and speak and wicked spirit come out of them. You go and read another account of our text and you'll find out those spirits came out saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he made them shut up because he didn't want them telling everybody he was the Christ. And he did all that with a word. And men want to argue and wrangle and say, well, unless you can explain to me how he made him sin, I can't believe it. Well, explain to me how he spoke and took away men's sins, took away men's sicknesses. And that was the easy thing. But if he could do that, he can do the other. And he did. He did. He can say, thy sins be forgiven thee, and they be forgiven thee, because he took the sin, made it his own, bore the crime itself, and bore the punishment for it, so that the crime, the sin, and everything is erased off the record books. So it's not just as if I never sinned. Before God, there's no record I ever have. Or ever will. And he did that by being made sin for us. Now you think about this. When you get sickness, your child is sick or somebody's sick in your family, this is something I kept trying to think about. I missed a plane. I missed a flight when they called and told me my dad was sick. I was sitting there just shook up about it. I'd sit there and I didn't even see that. I mean, I'm sitting right by the place to go down the to get on the plane, and everybody just went on, got on it, and I walked up there a little while and asked the lady when the flight took off. She said, they've been gone. It shakes you up, you know. But when you do that, you think about it. Look to Christ. He said, is there any suffering like my suffering? Any sorrow like unto my sorrow that's done unto me? All you that pass by. There's nothing we've ever borne or will ever bear. As painful as these things are, as painful and as hurtful as they are. Christ knew what it was to lose children. He saw Judas betray him and walk away. He saw Peter say, I don't know the man, and leave. He had to suffer, tread the winepress alone and suffer it all alone. Even his father withdrawing his spirit from him and leaving him in the darkness. We can't even fathom what that was like. We can't even imagine what he suffered. So if you want to just help ease your suffering, there's nothing to ease your suffering like seeing that Christ really and truly bore my sin. And he knows what that's like. He bore it. And he bore the punishment because of it. Eternal wrath of God. And he knows what it is to die. One day we're going to have to face that, and we don't know what that's like. But he's the forerunner. He's already been there. And this is the third thing. In healing their sickness, he teaches us that Christ has sympathy toward his elect in whatever sickness he sends, because he knows the feeling of infirmities and the temptations that's caused by our sin. He knows the feeling of those infirmities, and he knows the temptation that come. Now, many say that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, in that when they brought those people sick to him, he only felt sorry for them, and so he healed them. And they say that's how it was, that kind of sympathy, just the kind of sympathy of like you have for somebody that you love that you hear is sick. Well, he had that kind of sympathy for them. He loves his own, those that are his elect. He had sympathy for them that way. But far greater than that, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities and tempted in all points like as we are, when in his own body he actually bore our sin that causes our infirmities. Though he himself never sinned. You get what that's saying. When he was made sin, he knows intimately with firsthand knowledge all the infirmities we have, all our weakness and all the troubles that we have is all because of sin. Brother Kevin rode with me. We flew to Alabama and we drove 16 hours back Tuesday and Wednesday. He heard me wake up Wednesday morning. I was grunting and groaning and moaning and every move I made when I got up. I told him that's what David meant when he said, I've spent my life in sighing. It's just, you just feel it now when you get up. Walking around. Everything I did, I was grunting and groaning. All those feelings that you get, then when you get sick, then when you have trouble, hard trouble and hurtful trouble, all those feelings of our infirmities, he experienced all of them in his own body when he was made sin for us. And then there's temptations that come with them. There's temptation. The first thing the devil wants to do when you or your loved one gets sick is tell you, well, you just don't have time for the gospel now. You don't have time for that now. And that's when you know, that would be like saying to Chloe, you don't have time to go to the doctor now. You need to, that's what I'm saying. When you need the Lord the most, there's all these temptations that the devil would try to take you away from him. And he experienced all that too. But he experienced all of that hanging on that cross by himself without anybody to help him. I think he began experiencing it in the garden because Me and Kevin were talking about this on the way back. The Lord didn't come and strengthen him. The Lord sent an angel to strengthen him. I think the Lord God had withdrawn his spirit from him. And that's when he began to see what it's like to be made sin. That's what it was for Adam. He took his spirit from him in the garden. And he had to suffer that alone. And yet he never wavered in looking to God his Father. He never wavered. He never sinned himself. He was touched with all the feeling of our infirmities and all the temptations that we're tempted with. Yet he never sinned. He looked to the Father. And he knows it. He knows all those feelings better than we know them, and all those temptations better than we know them, because he knows what it's like to not have sin and to be suffering in them all at the same time and not sinning while he's suffering them. You and I can't, we don't even know what that's like. And so there's a sympathy in our Savior who knows by experience the feeling of what we suffer, and he alone is able to effectually give us exactly what we need to comfort us, exactly what we need to instruct us and teach us. He sent the sickness. He sends death, or he sends life and heals. But whatever he's pleased to do, he's the only one who can send the comfort and can teach you exactly what he's determined to teach you through it all. He's the only one that can do it. And that's his sympathy towards us. It's more than just this sentimental sympathy that I feel bad for you. It's he's been there. More real than we've gone through it. And he knows it. As God, he can use everything at his disposal to bring you just what you need. And as a man, he knows exactly what you need. He's been there. Now, what have we learned about sickness from this? First of all, God's elect, redeemed, regenerated people are not immune to sickness. God nowhere promised us we would not have trouble. We can't get upset with God. He told us you're going to have trouble in this life. Christ told us in this life you shall have tribulation. We're not immune to it. Number two, Christ alone is able to heal our sickness. If he can heal the greater, the sin sickness, he can heal the physical sickness. He alone can do it. It's all at his sovereign disposal. He gives it, he determines how long it'll last, and he can cure it. He's the one who can cure our sin. And Christ is able to use physical sickness to draw us to his feet. If you or a loved one is sick, go to Christ. They call you, listen, try to help them, comfort them, but don't you hang that phone up without saying, now you personally get to Christ. Go to Christ. Tell him everything you've told me and pour out things to him that you can't tell me. Isn't it good when you can just go to Christ and tell Christ things you wouldn't even tell your spouse? And number four, Christ took our sickness and our sins that caused it, so he knows. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but with him taking our sickness, I don't know what all was involved with that, but some of the old commentaries say that when those Jews said, you're not yet 50 years old, the reason they said that was because him bearing the sickness, taking on all the feeling that comes with it, made him age more, and physically age more, so that he looked like he was 50 years old, and he wasn't 30 years old. I don't know if that's so or not, but he was touched, I know that. So he knows, brethren. We have such a great high priest seated in heaven. Go to Hebrews 4 and we'll end. He has sympathy for us. He's ready. Ready to heal, ready to help, able to comfort. And he knows everything we suffer. Look here, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, he was speaking from experience. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy We need that because we sin even in the midst of our troubles and our sorrow. We sin. We can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what that tells me? Our healing, that which is going to heal us, is not taking away our physical sickness. Our healing is Christ. Our healing is Christ. If He never takes the physical sickness away, and we have Christ, we're healed. We're healed. And He can comfort you and make you as comfortable as if He took away the sickness, right in the middle of the sickness. Our healing is Christ. All right, brethren. Brother Eric, if you'll come and lead us.